BRAF V600E mutation, they should be considered for, you know, I guess the quadruplet triplet. I mean, FOLFOX with encorporapinib and cetuximab. But then you have to ask yourself, because we're still in a data-free zone here, what about our patients that receive adjuvant FOLFOX or CAPOX and then they progress? I know we haven't had any data with FOLFIRI here. Maybe that's coming in the future, but that's something that we're going to have to kind of grapple with, Dr. Mala, as one of the leaders in the field, you know, because the study wasn't with FOLFIRI, but it's going to be interesting. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an important point you bring up, Chandler. You know, in the adjuvant setting, if a patient received FOLFOX and unfortunately had a progression within the first 6 months to 1 year, I don't tend to use the FOLFOX again because the patient has a tumor that has an aggressive biology and progressed on FOLFOX within early stages. I think that's a patient population certainly would like to use a different chemo backbone, like a FOLFIRI, as you rightly mentioned, right? So we have an approval currently with FOLFOX plus encorafenib cetuximab. However, as of ESMO of last year, there has been some presentations on FOLFIRI plus encorafenib cetuximab backbone. I think that's coming up as well. So hopefully we will see that data as well in the near future. And realistically, if encorafenib FOLFOX6 seem to have a decent tolerability and safety profile and almost similar to FOLFOX by itself in terms of discontinuation rates, in terms of side effects, maybe a little more mainly GI side effects of the combination targeted therapy, one would assume with addition to FOLFIRI, which is usually relatively more easy on the patients than FOLFOX, I'm positive with that being also a good additive benefit as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we kind of, you know, ask you as one of the leaders in the field is, you know, these right-sided BRAF mutations, they also tend to have an MSI high. And so when you have a practicing general oncologist, they look at the NCCN guidelines, they're like, okay, MSI high, immunotherapy, BRAF, V600E, you know, targeted treatment. How do you typically, because you have two different medications there, how do we separate the two if you had to decide treatment sequence?
That is a great question, Dr. Park. You know, MSI high and BRAF, they tend to overlap with each other. You know, with BRAF V600E more associated with MLH variants, you know, at the mismatch repair protein level. And this question has already, you know, sort of been asked in an indirect way by looking at patients who have been received immunotherapy in CheckMate 142 study and also most recently CheckMate 8HW patient population. They looked at the patients who have, I mean, obviously these are patient population which is MSI high colorectal cancers, and they looked at patient population who have both BRAF V600D and without, and in fact, the response rates, the outcomes seem almost similar regardless of BRAF or V600A mutation or not, which suggests the fact that the bad biology, what we think of BRAF V600E, seems to be obliterated by the MSI high status. Maybe perhaps it's a good thing that the patients have an associated MSI high status, which trumps and us using ipi/nivo or frontline single agent nivo or pembro in that patient population, and continue to follow these patients along. Hopefully, you know, we have seen similar benefit across the board, and that's what I would do in my patient practice as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes this is like, I guess, more on the right-sided. We always talk about the right-sided versus the left side. And then, you know, sometimes with the right-sided cancer, I guess much more aggressive type. I know there's some data there with throwing the kitchen sink, maybe FOLFIRINOX with Avastin. What are your thoughts about those patients on the right side? They might not have BRAF, but they have aggressive genes where you might have to consider all the treatments. Any guidance there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're referring to the TRIBE study and the TRIBE 1 and TRIBE 2 study where they used, FOLFOX CD with bevacizumab in reservations. And in fact, there's a positive study when they used triplet with the targeted therapy versus compared to the sequential use of either FOLFOX followed by FOLFIRI or FOLFIRI followed by FOLFOX. The median survival outcome seems to be favoring the triplet agent. However, though, patient selection is key in that setting. We need to have a robust young patient who we think that can tolerate these treatments. And in my practice, I also would feel like if I have a patient who is a potentially resectable candidate, but stage 4 metastatic disease, if I would like to derive much more benefit from the triplet chemotherapy, then those are the patients I would like to offer them the triplet, you know, in those, so to help with responses and eventually to get them to a curative intent therapy approaches for that matter. But I think that's an important, still stays in as an algorithm. NCCN guidelines still list as an option for our patients, but patient selection is key in those, in that setting.
And, you know, our surgeons would really enjoy that, where they can make an easier resection and those selected patient population where you can shrink that cancer, question peritoneal disease right by the colon, make it easier for the resection. So I think that's a great point for the audience. Now, what about the left side? You know, on the left side, you tend to have more HER2 disease. So let's say we have a left-sided, no KRAS, no mutations, and they progress on FOLFOX with cetuximab, maybe panitumumab, and then you had this HER2 3+ IHC. So I know the general medical oncologists, they're thinking FOLFIRI would have Avastin, but now we had this T-DXd approval, and we have some really good data on HER2. Any guidance there on second-line patients if they have a HER2 mutation?
Absolutely, yeah. I think HER2 constitutes about 3 to 5% incidence in metastatic colorectal cancer patients. And in patients with RAS wild type, that incidence can tend to go up to almost 8 to 10%.
Wow.
We do know that these are the patients you would not be using EGFR inhibition. And another reason why you would want to check for HER2, both liquid biopsy and then tissue and the beginning diagnosis, is if you have a patient with HER2 alteration and if they're RAS wild type, those are the patients has been shown benefit. Actually, detrimental benefit with using EGFR inhibition in the frontline setting. So those are the patients I would favor using bevacizumab even if it is in the left side, because HER2 can play a significant role. Now, to answer your question regarding your second line setting post-progression, we do have, thankfully, a bunch of treatment options that we could pick and choose. You know, we do have the T-DXd, the trastuzumab deruxtecan, which is an antibody, you know, drug conjugate with topoisomerase 1 inhibitor payload, has been studied in DESTINY-CRC02 with 5.4 milligram per kilogram dosage. It demonstrated an objective response rate of 38%. I mean, just 38%. And for those folks who are planning to use irinotecan, it does have the topo 1 inhibitor, which sort of an irinotecan sort of a response, or, you know, irinotecan even, is already inbuilt as part of a chemotherapy together with trastuzumab, but this is more focused on delivering those drugs towards the cancer cells. So I think 40% is phenomenal. Now, we do have also data from Mountaineer study using combination of trastuzumab to tucatinib, where the objective response rates are also greater than 40%. The mature data is quite strong, and some patients living more than 2+ years on this regimen. It's phenomenal. And I would like to point out a key difference here as we treat these patients in a clinic. We tend to see RAS mutated patients and HER2 altered or HER2 overexpressed. Those are the patients which are not included in the Mountaineer study, and those are included in the Destiny Colorectal CRCO2 study. So hence, I would use T-DXd for patients with RAS mutated, HER2 altered. Whereas I leave the trastuzumab to tucatinib for patients was RAS wild type and HER2 overexpressed for that matter.
Wow, that's a great pearl. I mean, if you think about the general colleges that think about these little nuances, like for instance, if they do not have a KRAS mutation and they have that, you know, HER2, you should not consider cetuximab or panitumumab because the HER2 trumps the KRAS wild type. Now, on the other hand, like you mentioned, like if you have a KRAS mutation, right, or any kind of RAS mutation with a HER2, you should consider Destiny Pan Tumor with T-DXd. So that's a pearl there, Dr. Mallon. Thank you for sharing that. I never heard of that, but that's very profound.